Mandalam Aleph, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Have you the fun of Maliach Tchila, if they brought before a person something salted to begin with?" So it actually just says Maliach could be called Dava Maluach, anything. So we're going to be talking about the concept of Iker and Tophel. So they brought him Maliach Tchila, Upas Imai, and along with it was bread. So the point is, as we're going to see, the point is that he's only eating the bread because he's eating the salted thing, and therefore he needs the bread in order to moderate the taste of it. There's a number of points in here. He's eating the maliach first, but there's also the fact that the only reason he's having the bread is in order to moderate the taste of the maliach. Therefore, mevarech al maliach upoter at the pas. He makes the bracha on the salted thing and passes with it the bread. Shapas tefelalo, because the bread is secondary to it. So we're going to see in the Gemara actually that there's a little more involved over here. But the basic idea is Iker and Tophel, Zachwal. So here's the general rule, which we've touched on before in the parrot. Kolsho Iker v'imre tefela. Whenever you have something primary and something secondary or auxiliary with it, Mevarech ala Iker, Poiter ala tefela, then you make the bracha on the Iker, and with it you pater the Tophel, and that applies even in a case like this, where the Tophel is bread. You shouldn't think that bread can never be Tophel. No, it can be.
That's funny.
Well, so actually what it is you have now it gets a little bit more complicated in Shulchan Aruch, is you have a number of different factors that there need to be in order for it to be considered tuffle. One of them being, in a case like this, for example, it would be, we're not talking about, let's say, before a meal, where even if the person mainly was in the mood for eating maliach, there's no question they're getting something useful out of the bread as well, because they're getting satisfied and nourished by it. So then in fact, we wouldn't apply the din of tuffle, and then the bread would, then at least there's a possibility that the bread would require its own washing and hamoisi, and in that case, then better what you should be doing is washing and eating some of the bread and only then eating the tuffle. So among other things, you were talking about it has to be after a meal, so you've already eaten your fill, so now you're just eating the maliach in order because you like the taste of it or whatever, but it's sharp, or as Gemara was going to say, actually, the situation is that you actually have fruit involved as well, where the fruit is very sweet. And therefore, so you have on the face of it, you have a whole bunch of tuffles, although we'll talk about it in the Gemara. But anyway, so you have that, there's that consideration. There's also the consideration that the tuffle has to be there at the time, or at least you know that it's going to be brought, not that it's something that is brought afterwards. It has to be that you're eating the tuffle first, that you're eating the ikker first. If in this scenario we're talking about over here, if you were to be eating the bread first, even though you're only eating it because of the maliach, because of the salt thing you're going to be eating with, then you'd still have to make a separate bracha on the bread because you are eating it first. So in Shulchan Aruch, I mentioned a couple of other cases. For example, if you're dipping bread into liquor, where again, the idea is you're mostly having the bread in order because the liquor is very sharp, and the mashka or whatever is very sharp, and therefore you're dipping bread into it, that's another example of ikker and tuffle.
So what is the ikker?
So then the ikker is the mashka. You're only having the bread in order, you're only having the bread because you can't drink the mashka neat. Nowadays, we have a number of examples of Iker and Tuffel, where sometimes we say that one passes the other, and sometimes we say you have to make separate brachas on them. For example, you have soup with noodles in it, you have ice cream in a cone, you have pie, you have a number of different.
We still go by the idea that it's better to make mochi in anything.
No, well, obviously, with everything, it's better to, whenever you have a suffix, sure, you're better off making hamochi and actually eating a kazayas of bread and so forth, right. But we're talking about if you're not going to be doing that, if you don't have bread available, or you don't want bread or whatever, and the whole point, you know, a big point of mezonos, a big draw of mezonos is the fact that you can eat it on the go without having to wash. So then you have, for example, in the case of ice cream, let's say you have, and Rabbi Marlow mentions in his guide, if it's a plain cone, then the ice cream is the ikker and the cone is just the tuffle. The cone is just there to hold the ice cream, therefore no separate bracha on it. If it's a sugar cone, then it's different because then you're eating the cone for the sake of the cone, so then you would say separate brachas.
A sugar
like one of those sweets, like one of those ones that are made to look like a waffle or something. They themselves are sweet, and they themselves are, you know, they have a taste of their own. It's not just like a regular cone, which is from fairly tasteless stuff. So therefore, hello. So in that case, for example, you would actually make separate brothels on the ice cream and on the cone because you're eating the cone for its own sake. Similarly, you have the various kinds of soups that have noodles in them, where if the noodles are cooked separately from the soup, then you make separate brachas on them. And even if they're cooked in the, if they're cooked in the soup, then already it depends. Then when you have an ikkar and tefillah mixed together, then you go according to the majority. So then it depends whether the soup is the majority or the noodles are the majority. But whatever, you have such things of ikkar and tefillah. All right. So the Gemara starts off. Where do you have a scenario like that where the maliach, the salted thing, for example, salted fish or whatever, is the primary thing and the bread is tefil? Usually the whole point is that bread you're eating bread for the sake of because you need a meal. What we're talking about in the Mishnah is people who are eating fruit from Ginoisar. Ginoisar is the area around the Kinneret in Eretz Yisrael, which is very fertile. The fruit from there is extremely sweet. So you're eating the fruit, but then the fruit is so sweet that you need something sharp, like herring or some salted thing like that to moderate, to soften the taste of it. And then in turn, because the herring in turn is very salty, then therefore you eat bread with it. In fact, Tosfos points out, in that case, if you had all three of them together, then you wouldn't be making a bracha on the herring either. Then the fruit is the ikker and everything else is the truffle. So Tosfos says that either the fruit you ate previously and now you're sitting down elsewhere, let's say, and you realize, you know what, I'm on a bit of a sugar high now, so let me have the, no, well, you wouldn't know without this Mishnah that the ikkar and tefillah still doesn't apply when it's not right then. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says, is let's say when he ate the peres ginoisar, he didn't know that he was going to be feeling so weak afterwards from the exceptional sweetness. Now, afterwards, he realizes, so he has the b'nim l'yachim pas. So it's the same thing. Then it's also nimlach, if he changed his mind, so then the fruit is not the ikkar anymore, then he has to say the bracha on the m'liach, but the bread is included. Rabbeinu Yonah, anyway, has a different explanation of it, which is the peres ginoisa, because they themselves are so sweet, when you eat them with a lot of salt to begin with. So therefore, you don't even have, it's not even three things. The maliach itself is the peres ginoisa, which you're eating together with some salt to moderate the sweetness of it. Apparently, that's how Rabbeinu Yonah learned it. Okay. So in this connection, you still have fruit from ginoisa. You still have, are they sweet as before? I don't know if they are necessarily. And Bechlal, you have Gemaris yet at the end of Sota, for example, where it mentions that there's been a tremendous decline in the fertility and many other things about the fruit of Eretz Yisrael since those times. There used to be a special taste in the fruit, which we don't have anymore. There used to be a special aroma that we don't have anymore. So I don't know if necessarily now it's the same thing. Okay. Anyway, I'm not sure how to come back. So Rabbi Baba Chana tells how it used to be when we would follow as Talmidim, when we would follow Rabbi Yechanan to eat fruit from Ginoisar. Ginoisar, by the way, I mean, it's the name of the area, and there is actually nowadays there's a kibbutz or something near the Kinneret called Ginoisar. The actual name of it, the Medrash says, comes from Gan Sar. It means the garden of the prince, because it's so fertile and so wonderful over there that it deserves to belong to a prince. Well, no, Gan Sar, the Gan which is the Sar. Okay, anyway. So anyway, so when we would follow Rabbi Yechanan to eat food from Ginoisar, Ki Haben and Bei Meya, if there were a hundred of us, somebody didn't go with Rabbi Yechanan, Man Katinen, L'chochad V'chad, Asara Asara, then every one of us would pick 10 fruits, so that we'd have a total of 1,000. If there were only 10 of us, then every one of us would pick 100 fruits for Rabbi Yechanan. So either way, we'd end up with 1,000. Every 100 of them would fit in a basket that holds 3 saw. And a saw is about 20 pounds, give 15 or 20 pounds, give or take. So 3 saw, then you're talking a basket that holds like 50 pounds. So every 100 of them would fit into the thing. In other words, each fruit weighed about 0.5 pounds. And strictly speaking, though, if we want to get technical about it, a saw and most of the other units that are mentioned in the Gemara are measures of volume, not of weight. So it's not really an exact comparison, but whatever. The point is they were very large fruits. The Gemara in other places, by the way, mentions about the size of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. First of all, we know the Meraglim did that. The Meraglim brought back huge fruits from Eretz Yisrael. But in other places also, you have a Gemara in Ksubas, for example, that mentions that there were grapevines as big as animals. Yeah, so, yeah.
A saw is 5 gallons?
A saw is, yeah, something like that, I guess. No, a gallon of 8 pounds. So no, a saw then would be, according to that, would be like two gallons, give or take. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Look, the basket could only be so big.
That's the point, though. So a basket of three saw, which fine, that was a standard size basket that people could use, would hold 100 of these. Okay. So they're quite large fruits. And then Rabbi Yochanan would eat those fruits, and even if he ate all of them, he would afterwards swear that he hadn't eaten any food. So what does he mean? Of course he ate food. The fruit is food. No, what he meant was that he hadn't eaten anything that was satisfying because the fruit was so sweet. You get basically a sugar high from it, but you don't. It's not something that fills you up and makes you feel that you've had nutrition. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan could say even after eating all this fruit that he hasn't had ziyuna, rather that he hasn't mezoina, that he hasn't had something that would actually fill him up like mezoina would, even though he ate so much. Some more on other amiroyim. So that's it. So we see therefore that these fruits are very, very sweet and not really at all filling. So therefore, you might have, when a person is eating them, they need to eat them afterwards with something salty in order to moderate the taste of it.
And if he does,
okay. So then that's it. So then I was saying, then we have ikker. If he has them all at the same time in front of him, then the fruit is the ikker. If not, then it's toast is the same. The moliach is the ikker. Then the salted herring or whatever it is the ikker. By the way, Marsha points out in this connection, speaking of the meraglim, he says this was the meraglim complaint when they brought back the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. They said, look at this. This fruit is it's very sweet, and very big, and everything, but it's not filling. You can't live off these fruits, just like Rabbi Yochanan can't live off them. Okay, but the point is, in other words, that these fruits, exceptionally so. Like most fruits, you eat enough of them, you'll feel full after a while. But these, even Rabbi Yochanan could eat a large amount of it, and he still wouldn't feel full. This is one of the things that, well, the Meraglim are still saying Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. They're pointing out the bad qualities of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Anyway. Rabbi Bohu, when he would eat from food of Ginoto, he would eat from it ad to have a sharkly judva me'apuse, until he had eaten so much that his skin would be so smooth that if a fly landed on his forehead, it would slip off. It sounds like a good mold, although there is actually something in the Trivus HaGaonim along the lines of that Rabbi Bohu had exceptionally hard skin, what comes out of the fruit, what exudes from his skin would be so much of it that the fly would slide off. Yeah, it's probably also true. Okay. Rab Ami and Rab Asi would eat from this fruit so much until their hair fell out. Rab Shimon and Lakish have ochel ad the morid. Rab Shimon and Lakish, when he was eating this fruit of Ginoiso, he would eat so much that he would go crazy. So he'd be wandering around, not knowing where he is. He'd be like on a sugar high. Admarid literally means until he rebelled, but meaning like until his mind rebelled against him. Rashi says, "Daita mitarefa," like he'd be going out of his mind. But Amar Lahu Rabbi Yochanan Lebenasiya, so Rabbi Yochanan would have to tell the people from the household of the Nasi who have servants and police and whatever at their disposal, but have a Meshadrele Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Balushi Abasre. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the Nasi would have to send groups of people to search for the Shlokish or Meister in the base and bring him home because he himself couldn't find the way home because he was on a sugar high like that. It sounds like a guzma, and maybe to a certain extent it is. On the other hand, there is an idea. There's a Yerushalmi that says that a person is going to be held to account, la'asid lover, for everything that he saw and in the world and didn't enjoy. Like Hashem created it for you to enjoy. Now it's brought. In many places, that doesn't apply to the average person, because unfortunately, the average person, if they're going to get involved with eating and drinking everything they see, then, you know, they're going to get partaked in that, and that's going to be that. We're talking about tzaddikim, where their whole purpose in life and everything that they do is for avodah, is to be mevarer things, so therefore, they have to get as much
they
as,
have to enjoy.
So therefore, they have to get as much as they can and take sparks of kedusha out of it and elevate them. So that's what these amiroyim were doing with this fruit, is the fact that it's sweet shows that there's tremendous amount of kedusha, there's a tremendous amount of potential of kedusha in it, and they wanted to take advantage of that as much as possible. We don't do that because we're not on that level. Because we're not on that level. If we went too far in eating Peres Dinosa, we wouldn't be doing it the same Shemayim and to be elevating sparks to Kedusha whenever we would be eating it because we're grubber people and we have appetites. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Key also of Gimme Amar. When more on this topic about fruit. He also of Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, Ir achas hosel of Yanei HaMelech, Behar HaMelech. Yanei HaMelech had a certain city that belonged to him in Har HaMelech. Har HaMelech is a region of Eretz Yisrael, I think it's the area around Hebron, I think, which was extremely fertile, and we find in many other places in Gemara, it was very, very heavily settled with Jews.
What's
Har HaMelech? Because it belonged to the king. It was the area, so it was the area around. It was the area around Chevron, the mountains of Yehuda. But we find in many other places in Gemara, it was very, very thickly settled and populated by Jews. And you have the Gemara in Gittin in the Sugya about the Churban over there. It tells a few stories about how it was destroyed. But anyway, the point is, so Yanei HaMelech had a city over there which was so large. They would export from it 600,000 bowls full of tris. Rashi says tris means tuna fish. Lekoytzei ta'enim, for those who are harvesting figs over there, me'erev Shabbos la'erev Shabbos, from one erev Shabbos to the next. In other words, there were so many workers that every week they needed 600,000 bowls of tuna fish to feed them. Marshall says, in fact, the tuna was salted, so therefore it connects directly with what we were saying before. These people, while they're working on the job, while they're picking the fruit, are also eating from it, which in fact is the halacha. When a worker was working, there were so many workers and there was so much fruit that they were eating from it, and as we're saying over here, the fruit was very, very sweet. They needed something to moderate the sweetness of it. Therefore, they would send them bowls of tuna fish with salt in it.
Why should it just not salt?
Because the point is, they need it because you can't just eat salt by itself. So, and that point is, they also needed food. They needed food to eat. But we see, in other words, how fertile the area was and how many workers there were. He also, Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he said another thing that we find about Har HaMelech. Ilon Echad Hoyle, the Yanei HaMelech, the Har HaMelech. Yanei HaMelech owned a certain tree in this area of Har HaMelech. Every month, three times during the month, they would take out of it 40 saw of young pigeons. In other words, there were so many birds nesting in this tree, there were so many pigeons nesting in this tree that you had. They had a huge number of children, they had a huge number of babies, and therefore three times a month, they could take 40 saw of newly born birds off the tree for people to be able to eat or bring a carbonus or whatever. So again, it goes to show, in other words, the tremendous fertility and then the tremendous production of Eretz Yisrael in those days. And by the way, it's not the only place. You have that Gemara in Ksubas that I was mentioning before with the grapevine size of animals also mentions, for example, I think it actually mentions a certain Min Zuki or whatever there, who says that he had a tiny plot of land in Eretz Yisrael and it produced enough for all of his family, for all his family and his servants and whatnot. So Eretz Yisrael was, you know, we often think Eretz Yisrael is a tiny little country, and on the map it is a tiny little country, but on the other hand, you know, in davening and in benching, we call it Eretz Chemda Tova or Rechava, a wide land, because it's wide enough that when Jews, as the Gemara mentioned in a few places, when Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, it expands, and there's room enough for everybody to live there and to be able to make a living over there. When Jews are not there, unfortunately, then it shrinks, and. Okay. Key author of Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, he mentioned a similar thing also about a city in Eretz Yisrael that had something amazing in it. Here Achat talks about Eretz Yisrael, Gufnis Shema. There was a city in Eretz Yisrael named Gufnis. In that city, there were 80 pairs of brothers who were Kohenim, who were married to 80 pairs of sisters who were Kohenites. So in other words, you had from one family, let's say you have Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and they married Rachel and Leah, who are sisters, and Reuven and Shimon are Kohenim, and Rachel and Leah are daughters of Kohenim. And in another family, you had Levi and Yehuda married to Bila and Zilpah, same thing, and so forth. You had 80 families like that. Then in Bavel, the Chachamim, when they found out about this, the Chachamim were checking in Bavel from Surah until Nahadah, to see whether we have any such thing in Babel. V'loy ashkahu, and they couldn't find such a thing. Barmi binsei the Rav Chista, the closest they could find is the daughter of the Rav Chista, Gahavu Nesivan the Rami Bachoma Ulama Ukva Bachoma, who were married to Rami Bachoma and Ma'ukva Bachoma. We're there, okay, you have two sisters married to two brothers, but it wasn't even the same thing. Ba'afagab the inhi have a cancer, even though Rav Chista's daughter is a Benois Koyanim, because Rav Chista was a Koyan, inhu I have a Kahani. Rami Bachoma and Ma'ukva Bachoma are not Koyanim. So it's not even exactly the same thing as in Gufnis. Now, it's interesting. Rav Yehuda HaChosid wrote a famous tzavah where he has a number of things that people should be careful about. And one is that two brothers should not marry two sisters. So the note of Yehuda says, what about our Gemara over here? So Rav Reuven Margolius in his notes on tzavah Rav Yehuda HaChosid says, listen, but after all, you find in the case of the 80 pair, in the case of the 80 pairs of Kohanim from Gufnis, you find the Gemara Yerushalmi that implies that they ended up, unfortunately, they ended up in tragedy, that all of them were hanged, although there were different groups, the Kohanim of Gufnis, so you have a Yerushalmi that seems to imply that, although in fact there are slightly different Yerushalmi over there, but whatever. One, the Goyim, I guess, I don't know. But the Gemara mentions it in Tainit in connection with other stories involving the Churban. So Mesama is something that happened at the time of the Churban. But anyway, and as far as Rami Bachoma and Ma'ukva Bachoma, as far as Rami Bachoma, at least we know that he passed away young and Rava married his widow. So we see that, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid is right, but these things don't always end up so well. Lamaisa, what we have is different people. Some people are noyeg. So some people are noyeg to be careful about that always. Some people are not. You have Bechlau, we've talked about before, about Tzavas, Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, to what extent it applies nowadays. Some people say it doesn't at all. Some people say it only applies to his descendants, etc. Or Minag, you find that it's brought that the Rebbe's father, Rav Levi Yitzchak, and Rav Levi Yitzchak's brother, Rav Shmuel, married two sisters that were engaged to two sisters. The Rebbe Rashab told them, go ahead, but live in different cities. So that's the minhag Chabad nowadays, that if you have two brothers marrying two sisters, there's no problem with the marriage itself, but they shouldn't live in the one city. Okay. Amarav.
Why is that? What's the difference?
So the difference is apparently if according to Tzavas of Yehuda HaChosid there's a danger in it. So if you live in the same city, then it magnifies the problem. At least if you're living in different cities, then it makes less of an issue.
They don't talk to each other?
That's cool. They can talk on the phone. They don't live in the same city. Maybe it's that also. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Omer Rav. Kol su'udah she'en lamelach en su'udah. Rav says in this connection, any meal that doesn't contain salt is not considered a proper meal. Or different gears over here is not salt, but moliach, something salted, which therefore fits with our Mishnah, that a meal is normal for it to contain something salted. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, kol soda she'en basoris ein soda. Also, Rav Chiya Ba'Abba says in the name of Rav Yechanan, any meal that doesn't have something liquidy in it, like soup, for example, ein soda is also not a proper soda.
So it means
have spicy. No. Rashi explains sorry, like surfer chayah. You have an expression elsewhere in the Gemara that a person gulps it down raw. So sorry refers to something soft or liquidy which a person can gulp down. So like
coming from
straight. No, apparently no. It's a different
it's
church.
Same
word, but a different church. Okay. Mishnah says, Ochel anovim uteinim v'rimonim. If a person ate grapes and or figs or pomegranate, so what after bracha did you make? Mevarach l'achareim shalosh brachas divrei Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel says you have to say the full three brachas of benching afterwards. Okay, yeah, before I should say maybe not the full three brachas, but some a little bit of a kick through of them, but still, but it's not like we do v'chamam and brachachas mein shalosh. V'cham say you only say brachachas mein shalosh, which is what we do. Rav Akiva, I mean that it includes the themes of the three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. This is when we say Al Michya or Al Ha'et, we discuss the Nusach a bit in the Gemara, but yeah, but it incorporates in it lines that represent the three brachas of benching, that give us the major themes of the three brachas of benching.
So that means benching?
No, it doesn't mean benching. Bracha Achas Me'ein Sholosh means that it represents the three brachas of benching. But it's Me'ein, it's only a semblance of them, it's not the actual brachas of benching. Rav Akiva, I mean, afilo ochal shalek v'humazoner. Rav Akiva says even if a person only eats cooked vegetables, but that is his main thing that he's depending on for nourishment. Mevarach Olav Gimel Brachas, and he would still say the full benching on it. As we'll see in the Gemara why the different opinions hold what they do. Hashoisem Mayim Utsmoy, if a person drinks water because he's thirsty, as opposed to, as we're going to say in the Gemara, let's say there's something stuck in his throat, Mevarach Shahakol Niyabudvari, then he says on it the Bracha Shahakol, Rab Tarfin Burn Nefoshes Rabbis Vachasren, and Rab Tarfin says, he says before it, the Bracha Burn Nefoshes, which we're going to see in the Gemara, we don't do that, of course. The Rebbe talks about in a Sicha in Chelik Beis, the idea, we know that during Sukkot, there's a Sicha for Sukkot. We know you have Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin. Water is tasteless, as we see over here, that if you're not drinking it for the sake of itself, you don't even make a bracha on it. If, let's say, you're drinking water, let's say, because there's something stuck in your throat, or because you need to take it with a pill or whatever, you wouldn't make a bracha on the water, as opposed to with other kinds of juices you would, because even if you're drinking some other kind of juice, because something is stuck in your throat, let's say, you're still also having hanah from it, from the taste of it, therefore you'd make a bracha on it. So water, therefore, has no taste. Water represents the avodah of Kabbalah's oil. But when a person is drinking it with smoy, when he really feels thirsty and he feels he has that ruchnis, like a thirst to be close to Hashem, then he starts realizing shahakol niyabedvara, that everything that's in the world was created with Hashem's word. And therefore, that's the deeper meaning of what we're saying over here, that when a person drinks water because he's thirsty, then he says shahakol. You have a person does avoida with Kabbalah oil, and sometimes it's not because they realize the necessity of it. Sometimes it's just because I have to do it. I have no choice. But then you have a person who actually feels a thirst for Elikos, and then he really feels this feeling of Shahakol Niyabudvara, that everything in the world exists because of Hashem's word. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. My time is at Rabbi Gamliel. Why does Rabbi Gamliel say that you make that you say full benching after eating fruit of Shiva Saminim? So look at this. You have in the Pasuk, Eretz Chito Sarev Gamer, you have Pasuk Ches, in Peret Ches, the Parshas Ekev, lists the Shiva Saminim, Eretz Chito Sarev Gamer. Then the next pasuk, pasuk test continues. Eretz Asher Loibim Muskenus Teicha Balachem Agamer. It's a land where you won't have to eat bread in poverty or in difficulty. In other words, you'll have plenty of food. And then pasuk Yud says, you'll be full and you'll bless Hashem. So therefore, he says that that's referring back to the previous sukkim. So it's referring back not only to when you ate bread, lechem, but also to when you ate any of the Shiva Saminim, any of the ones that are listed in pasuk Ches.
Any one of them,
therefore. So that's what he's saying. So if you eat any one of them, then you have to bench. V'Rabbanon, what are the Rabbanon answer to that? They say, Eretz Hifzik Enyan. The word Eretz at the beginning of Pasuk Ches, where it says, Eretz Asher Lo B'Meskenus Techa B'Lechem, which wasn't necessary, because of course we're talking about the Eretz. So therefore, that breaks things up. And it means, therefore, that the V'Achalta V'Savata V'Rachta of Pasuk Yud does not refer back to Pasuk Ches. It refers back only to Pasuk Ches, which mentions eating lechem. Now, what would Ram Gamliel answer to that? Wouldn't he have to agree that Eretz breaks things up? The answer is, he would say, fine, the word Eretz comes to exclude something, but it comes to exclude the place of the case if a person is just chewing raw wheat. So in other words, Rabbi Gamliel would say, it's true that you have all Shiva Saminim listed, but the fact that you have Eretz after that, at the beginning of Pasuk Ches, what that does is it makes a limitation. When do you bench on the Shiva Saminim? When you're eating them in the normal way in which they would be eaten, as opposed to wheat or barley, it's not normal to eat them raw. If you make them into bread, if you make them into lechem, then you bench on them. But not if you're just eating them. But maybe if you make like farina or porridge or whatever of them, like we learned before, mice of zera or whatever. But not if you're eating it raw. That's not a normal enough way that you just have to bench on it. In fact, by the way, you have Rishonim who learn that just like benching over bread is Daraisa. So there are Rishonim who learn that Bracha of Main Shalish is also Daraisa. Many other Poskim don't agree with that, which is why, in general, if you have a Sopik, whether you bench, you have to bench again, because Sopik Daraisa Lachumra. If you have a Sopik with most other Brachas, whether you say them, including also Bracha of Main Shalish, you don't, because you don't make a Bracha for a Sopik. Sopik Brachas Lakula. But there are opinions that say that it is actually Daraisa, and say that in that case, what you really should be doing is eating more of the Shiva Saminim, so that you can make a Bracha, Bracha Badai.
You didn't say the Brachas?
What?
You want
it all. I did it already. I already. Oh, it has to be because the lock is broken. Yeah. Some opinions say that the bracha akas main cholos is daraisa, and therefore they would say that you have opinions that say daraisa, you have opinions that say derabanan. Those who say daraisa would say are also learning from our Gemara over here, because even the chachamim would agree, because we're saying that even the chachamim would agree that eretz is breaking up things maybe as far as benching, but not necessarily as far as bracha akas main cholos. So therefore, they would say that at least is daraisa, which would mean that if you have a suffix, whether you said a bracha achas main shalosh, you would have to say it again. Other rishonim disagree and say that, like most other brachas, is derabanan. So Lamai says, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that if a person ate, if a person is not sure whether he said a bracha achas main shalosh after mizonis, for example, then better, what he should do is eat some more mizonis, and that way, for sure, he'll have to make the bracha achrena either way. Okay. Amr of Yaakov Ba'idi, Amr of Chamina, Kol Shu Mechamesha Saminin, anything that comes from the five species of grain, which are wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. B'tchilam of Arachal Ba'imin and Mizonis, of Osef Rachach Men Cholish. So you say Mizonis at the beginning, and you say Alamichi at the end.
Men Cholish.
Men Cholish, again, means that it includes within it words that represent all the three brachas of Benchim. We're going to have them Nusach soon in the Gemara, and then we'll see. The Amar Rav Ba'amari, Amar Rav Shurban Levi, in the same vein, Kol Shum Shiva Saminin. Whenever you eat anything of the Shiva Saminin, Mitzchilam Mavarach Bar Priya Eitz, the Lord says Brachah Men Sholosh, and you say Bar Priya Eitz at the beginning and Brachah Men Sholosh at the end. Amar Le Abayel Rav Dimi My New Brachah Men Sholosh. How exactly does this Brachah Men Sholosh go? Like this, Amale, he says like this, Aperi, if you're saying it on fruit, then you, Aperi, the eighth, if you're saying it on fruit from a tree, meaning five out of the seven Shiva Saminim, then it goes like this, Ala eighth, Val Priya eighth, we bless Hashem for the trees and for the fruit of the trees, Val Tnuvas Asada, for what was produced by the field. So all that phrase represents the first bracha of benching. In the first bracha of benching, we thank Hashem for the food that He gave us. So this line represents that. Then we continue. While eres chem da tova rechava for the beautiful and good and wide land shein chalta labetenu that you gave as an inheritance to our father sheratisa bein chalta labetenu is how we say it, because you have the Bahag brings this bracha and has slightly different nuschos in some of it, and we follow his nuschos. That you wanted and that you desired and you gave it as an inheritance to our fathers, to eat from its fruit and to enjoy from its goodness. So that part represents the second bracha of benching, where we thank Hashem for giving us Eretz Yisrael. Then we continue, Rachem Hashem Alekenu, Rachem Na Hashem Alekenu, Al Yisrael Amecha, Hashem, have mercy on your people Yisrael, Al Yerushalayim Yirecha, on your city Yerushalayim. We continue, Al Pi Mishkan Kodecha, Val Mizbechecha, Val Mizbechecha, Anu Beis Mikdash, Val Mizbechecha, and Anu Mizbeach, the Sivna Yerushalayim, Yerkodrecha, B'mehir of Yemenu, rebuild Yerushalayim, the city of holiness, quickly in our days, V'haleinu L'Selcha B'samchenu Va, and bring us up there and make us happy in it. So all that part represents the third bracha of benching, Rachim, where we ask Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim and the Beit Mikdash. So you actually have Nuschos in Nusach Ashkenaz. They say Rachem No in benching as well. We say Rachem in benching, but we say Rachem No in Alamichya, I mean Alaitz, whatever. Why the difference? I don't know. But we'd have to look at Dai and Rask in the city. He probably has a note on it. But anyway. Okay. What's the difference? We're still have to thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael and for the food that He gave us.
No, what's
that's fine. We still have to make a bracha. We still have to thank Hashem for creating them. Let's continue. Ki asa tovu meitiv l'kol. Then we continue because you, Hashem, are good and you do good for all. And we finish off a note of l'cha, l'aretz, etc. That part, by the way, represents the fourth bracha of benching. The reason why we call it bracha achas main sholosh is because we're going to learn in the next parak. To begin with, they only had three brachas of benching. They only added the fourth bracha in the time of Yavne, after the second Churban. So just like Shemana Esrei, we still call it that, even though it has a 19th bracha. So also bracha men sholosh, we call it that, even though it now encapsulates four brachas of benching. Okay. By the way, Tosfos mentions in this connection, Tosfos brings a couple of things. First of all, The chamesha saminin, if you're eating from the five species of grain, then instead you start off ala micha v'al chakol v'al tznevas ha-sadachol. You start the same way, but you start ala micha. V'chosim ala oretz v'ala micha. And you finish off ala oretz v'ala micha. Which is what we do today. By the way, you have people who have the nusach to say also to say at the end ala michiv ala chakola, just like at the beginning to say ala michiv ala chakola. You have people who have the nusach to say ala michiv ala chakola at the end. So you have a machlokes among the poskim whether that's correct or not, whether that's necessary or not. you have its broth that it's broth. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak used, among others, used to say in that Nusa, he held that you have to say Alamichav Alkakola, but he knew the Alter Rebbe holds that not, which in fact we don't have in his Siddur. So he used to say Alamichia Valkakola Zok Nishta Mechutin. The Mechutin doesn't say Valkakola. So that way he's used to both ways. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos mentions a couple of other details over here. One is, what if a person is drinking wine by itself? So then, given that wine has its own bracha before, has its own before bracha, it should have its own after bracha. Therefore, you should say on it ala gefen, which is how we have it in the Seder. Then Tosfos discusses, do you actually also end v'noda l'chala oretz v'al priya gopin, or do you end ala oretz v'al peiris? Because after all, it does come from peiris. So Tosfos is not really sure about that. L'maisa, we do have in the Siddur, we do have ala oretz v'al priya gopin in that case. And also you have that if you're combining together different things, then you combine together the bracha at the end, ala mishav al kakol of ala eitz v'al priya eitz, etc., and you finish at the end. One other thing, Tosfos points out, do you have to, if you're saying on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh, do you have to mention it in Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh? Tosfos themselves hold that not, but they quote from the Rambam who says that yes. L'maisa in Shulchan Aruch to mention Ritzei V'Achas Seinu over Zachrein Ola Toiva. And on Shabbos or on Yom Tov or on Rosh Chodesh, the Rambam holds you have to, based on the Yerushalmi. The Tosfos over here says that you do that the minhag of Olam is not like that. But now the minhag of Olam is that they do, because the halacha has been passed in Shulchan Aruch brings, like the Rambam, that we do in fact have to mention Ritzei V'Achas Seinu or Zachrein Ola Toiva in it. On the other hand, we don't mention anything about Hanukkah and Purim in it. For one thing, this is Hanukkah and Purim themselves. If you miss out in benching, if you miss out Alanism in benching, you don't have to repeat benching, as opposed to you miss out with say or Yalav Yava, you do have to go back. So therefore they're more important. Okay. The question is Mechtem B'mai Chosin. What do you end the bracha with? When you ate food, we just said that for grain product you finish off ala oretz v'ala mishka. What about when it comes to fruit? So if he also Rav Dimi Omer Rav. So like this, we can use by analogy. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Chosin Barash Omer. He said that Rav Chosin Barash Chodesh Baruch Mekadosh Yisrael V'Rosh Chodashim. That on Rosh Chodesh in Musaf we end off Mekadosh Yisrael V'Rosh Chodashim, meaning that it's not. Now we have a concept the Gemara mentions in some places. In general, we're not choisim b'shtayim. We're going to learn in the next parak, actually, that in general, you're not supposed to finish off a bracha with two different praises of Hashem, because each praise of Hashem deserves its own bracha. But on the other hand, here, Mekadosh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodashim is not like that, because Mekadosh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodashim means Hashem makes the Jewish people holy, and in turn, the Jewish people make Rosh Chodesh holy, because Rosh Chodesh depends on the determination of Beis Din. So therefore, it's not considered choisim b'shtayim. So the question is, hochamai. What about over here? Can we finish off ala oretz v'ala peiris, or would that be considered choisim b'shtayim? So Rav Chista amar ala oretz v'ala peiris. So Rav Chista says, yes, what you would say is for the land and for its fruit. But Rav Yechon amar ala oretz v'ala peiris. Rav Yechon says you say for the land and for the fruit. Well, the difference is one is talking about Eretz Yisrael, one not. So amar amram v'loy pligi. So Rav Amram says that actually there's no machlok, because halon b'halahu. One's talking about for us in Babel, and the other is talking about for them in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Chista lives in Babel, Rav Yechanan lives in Eretz Yisrael, so they're talking about the fruit of different places. Says, in that case, how does that work? You know, achli ba'anan mevorchin. In that case, it's backwards. Why is Rav Chista in Babel saying al ha'aretz v'al peiris seha, for the land and for its fruit, the land meaning Eretz Yisrael? Nobody in Babel is eating fruit from Eretz Yisrael, and vice versa. Why is Rabbi Yechon saying our earth fall apart?
That's now, the question I was asking you before.
Okay, so now you are outside. So, but that you ask.
It's related to this question.
It's related, but it's not the same thing. When we say our earth fall apart, that means in general that Hashem created the land, that Hashem created the world, and Hashem created food. Our earth fall apart itself.
Earth means Eretz Yisrael.
No, it means more generally. It means more generally the word. It can mean both. It can mean both. It has a double meaning. Can mean Eretz Yisrael, but more generally it means the world. It means the land.
Means
okay, here, if we say Peres Seha, then obviously it means Eretz Yisrael. If we say Peres, then it means more generally. Yeah. So the question is, why is Rav Chista in Babel talking about Peres Seha and Rav Yechanan is talking about Peres? Now, Tosfos points out it was a very common thing that people travel between Eretz Yisrael and Babel to learn. People from Babel would go to Eretz Yisrael, and people from Babel would go to, and people from Eretz Yisrael would go to Babel. But Over here, Tosa says that right now, the Makshin, who's asking the question, happens to know that right at this point, when Rav Chisda said the statement, he didn't happen to have any Talmidim in front of him from Eretz Yisrael, and vice versa with Rav Yechanan. So therefore, so how is it, so why are the Bnei Bavel making a bracha al pei etzecha if they're not eating food, if they themselves are not from Eretz Yisrael, and they're not eating food from there? So Ela Epoch, you have to flip it around. Rav Chisda amala oretz al peiros, Rav Yechanan amala oretz al pei etzecha. Now you do actually have so you do actually have in Sidurim, not in our Sidur, but in some Sidurim, in other Neskoyes, it does mention this concept of saying Peres Seha for fruit from Eretz Yisrael, and also similarly for wine pre Gatna. As far as whether you do the same thing with Ala Mechia, do you change it to Ala Oretz Val Mechiyosa? You have Rishonim, for example, the Kaf of a Ferach, that say yes, you should also change that to correspond to the other one. But you have other Rishonim and Achronim argue with that and say that no, Ala Michya, you would always say the same, Ala Oretz Ala Michya. And they give reasons for it, one of them being because after all, you're not eating the wheat or whatever in its original form, it's been made into bread, and therefore it's not as distinctive as that it comes from Eretz Yisrael. So you actually have Sfardim, who say Ala Oretz Ala Michya. But the Ashkenazim don't. As far as what our minhag is, I really don't know. I mean, in our Siddur, it just says Ala Oretz Vala Michya or Vala Peres or whatever without specifying what you do for Eretz Yisrael. So I don't know if our minhag is, I don't know if Minhag Chabad is to change it.
Can I try what they say? We're not sure.
Again, Minhag Chabad, for our minhag, I'm not sure. For our minhag, I'm not sure. For the Velt, they say Pri Gatna or Peres Seha. Our minhag, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask. You'd have to ask Chassidim, who come from Eretz Yisrael, and find out what they do. Okay. Now let's turn to discussing the bracha shahakol. Omer Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Dini Mishum Rabbeinu in this case means Rav, alabeya for eggs, va'al mine kupra, and for different kinds of meat, but chilom v'orach shahakol will say bor nefoshes Rav Eschulich. He says shahakol at the beginning and bor nefoshes at the end. But for vegetables, not. You don't make a bracha achrona for vegetables, he says.
What kupra is what?
Kupra is the Eretz Yisrael Aramaic word for meat. You find it in many places in the Yerushalmi and some other places that was their word for meat. No, nothing's weird because
red.
No, I don't know because what does red have to do with it? Kupra doesn't mean anything. Whatever. That was the word in Eretz Yisrael Aramaic for meat. Okay. I will yark a loy, but not for vegetables. Rav Yitzchak amar afilu yarka. Rav Yitzchak says no. Even vegetables are important enough to say bo nefoshes on. I will maya loy, but not water. But a papa amar afilu maya. Rav Papa says even water is important enough to say bo nefoshes on. So the flak was has a vortan, and he says that maybe the first opinion holds that only when you have something that involves taking a life, where after all you have the meat came from a living animal, the egg could have developed into a living animal, then you have to say bo nefoshes, and that Hashem created many different souls, and Hashem created what we need, which means that sometimes you have to take the life of an animal in order to eat it, but vegetables not. The second opinion says even vegetables, because after all vegetables are also alive. And the third one says even water, even though it's the same exact water, all the molecules of water that exist in the world now are all the exact same molecules that existed when Hashem created the world. So you think there's no chiddush on it, but a papa says even that you have to thank Hashem for creating it. Okay.
And so
what is the halacha? Mazutra ovid kid of Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Mazutra followed Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. So he would say bo nefoshes only for meat or eggs. But Rav Shimi ba'ashi ovid kid of Yitzchak. Rav Shimi ba'ashi would follow Rav Yitzchak and say bo nefoshes also on vegetables, but not on water. How do you remember which is which? V'simonach chad ketrei or trei techad. The way to remember which is the one is like two and the two are like one. Namely, Marzutra is called the one because it doesn't mention his father's name. He followed the two, namely he followed the person where we have two names mentioned, of Yitzchak bar Avdimi. On the other hand, Rav Shimi bar Ashi, where we have his name and his father's name mentioned, he followed Rav Yitzchak, who's mentioned without his father's name. So the one is like two and the two are like one. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi.
So that means, well, so far,
we haven't gotten to practical. Amar Rav Ashi, Ana Zimna Dekimat Karna Avidna Kekola. Rav Ashi says, when I remember, I follow all of them, and I follow even Rav Papa, and say that we say Bo Nefarshis even on water. And that is the halacha, that we say Bo Nefarshis on everything that was shakol, even water.
So Yeraka is water.
So everything, meat, eggs, water, vegetables, water, yeah. So let's see, which of these opinions fits best with what we said, with what we learned? We learned in a Braisa, Tznan, we learned in a Mishnah, it's actually a Mishnah in Nidah, kol shetoan bracha la'achrav, toan bracha lefanav, anything that requires an after bracha also requires a before bracha. V'yesh shetoan bracha lefanav, ain't toan bracha la'achrav. But you have certain things that require a before bracha, but not an after bracha. So what is that referring to? V'shleimel of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi la'apukhi yarka. So according to Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, we understand the Mishnah is telling us that therefore vegetables are not in that category. Vegetables only need a before bracha, hadama, but no after bracha. And according to Rav Yitzchak, we can say that the Mishnah is telling us as opposed to water. Where water, you would make a before bracha shakol and no after bracha. But according to the papa, what is the Mishnah excluding? Every kind of food, according to the papa, needs some kind of after bracha. So what is the Mishnah excluding? The answer is la'apokim mitzvahs. Rav Papa would say that it comes to exclude mitzvahs. For example, you make a bracha when you put on tefillin, when you put on tzitzis, but you don't make a bracha afterwards. So that would be the Mishnah telling us then that you don't make a bracha after mitzvah. The Gemara says, what about Ulebnei Ma'arava? What about the people of Eretz Yisrael? The Basa de Masalki Tfilai Umvorchi Asher to the Shanam Mitzvah B'Tivano Lishma Chukav. When they take off their tefillin, they actually make a bracha at the end that Hashem commanded us Lishma Chukav to guard His chukim. The Rishonim say that they would do this when they're taking off tefillin at the end of the day. We know you're not supposed to be wearing tefillin at night. So they would be taking it off close to the end of the day. Remember, they wore tefillin all day long. So when they're taking it off, because they have to take it off, because it's the nighttime, then they would actually make a bracha on it. So according to them, you have a case of a mitzvah where you make an after bracha. Actually, Tosfos mentioned it over here. That's Dalkam or Salkam Alayla. So they would be taking it off at night, and you have a pasuk that implies that you're not supposed to wear them at night. Therefore, they would be making a bracha. We just take them off in the middle of the day, so therefore there's no reason to make a bracha. You have Rishonim, you have Gaonim, who say that you could make a bracha if you want, but the consensus of Poskim is that no, you don't make a bracha she'en etzricha. Actually, it's interesting, though, the Beis Yosef mentions in this connection, now we do have a vestige of this in Uval Tzion. We say, shenishmer chukacha ba'olam hazeh. So that's a semblance of what we're saying here in this bracha, lishmer chukav. So the Beis Yosef says that a person should be taking off his tefillin at that point. But other achronim disagree with the Beis Yosef and say there's no necessity. Given that we're saying you don't say the bracha, then that's it. It does bring, though, in the notes in the Siddur, it mentions the Rebbe used to touch his tefillin at that time. When he would be saying that photo, of all of and lishmer shenishmer chukav, he would touch his tefillin as a zecher of this of what the Beis Yosef is saying about taking off your tefillin at that time. Okay. Anyway. So in Eretz Yisrael, they say a bracha when they're taking off tefillin. So then they do say a bracha after a mitzvah. So according to that, what is the Mishnah there coming to exclude? Now obviously, Tosfos says the Gemara could have answered other mitzvahs. They don't say a bracha after. Although you have Rishonim who disagree with that and say that maybe the Bnei Ma'arava would say a mitzvah after every mitzvah that they finished. Whenever they finished a mitzvah, they would say an after bracha. So then, what is the Mishnah coming to exclude? The answer is la'fuki reichoni. Even then, you could say the Mishnah is coming to exclude when you smell a fragrance. We learned last night about the dinim of making brachas on fragrances. That for sure you don't make an after bracha, even the Bnei Ma'arava are not going to, because once you smell it, then that's it, it's gone. It's insubstantial. Okay. Omer Rav Yanai, Omer Ra, Omer Rav Yanai, Omer Rebbe, or Omer Rav Zera, it says on the side, kosher, since we're talking about eggs, kosher, who kabeza, beza tova mimenu. Any food which is the size of a kabeza, an egg is better than it. In other words, an egg is the ideal food. So like any other food that you would be eating, the size of a kabeza is less good. You might, if you had a choice between an egg and another kind of food that was the size of a kabeza, better you should be eating the egg.
Because
the egg has more healthy. She also, Robin Amar, when Robin came, he said a similar thing. Tava bea mugugalta mishita kaisi sulta. One egg that's mugugelus, which means it's roasted or it's cooked, but it's not hard boiled. So it's still soft enough to it's a soft boiled egg basically. Mugugalta literally means rolled. Marsha points out because a raw egg you can't roll, you can't spin. It's an easy way to tell whether an egg is raw or not. Is try spinning it. If it's raw, it won't. Once you soft boil it, then it's hard enough inside, it's solid enough inside to be able to spin, therefore it's called Megugelus. Anyway, so one egg that's Megugelus, one soft boiled egg, is better Mishita Kaisi Sulta than 6 measures of fine flour.
Wow.
Yeah. She also Dimi, I'm a Tova Be Megugelus, Mishita Matvisa. One soft boiled egg is better than 6 hard boiled eggs. Or me arba mugushalta, It's also better than four that were cooked in water. And further, like we said, anything that's the size of an egg is better than it. Lavami bistra, except for meat. Meat is still better than eggs. Okay.
Wow.
So on the face of it, this is like the health advice that we have in many places in Shas, which is meant, after all, you know, that I'm right, that being healthy is an important part of Avodah.
Meat, then eggs.
So, right, but there are also, for example, Ben Yehoyada, over here says a deeper meaning in it. He says, the base of Megugelos, he says, refers to learning Pnimiyas HaTorah, which is like, so to speak, easier to swallow, in the sense there's less kashas and tirutim in it. You can't come up with your own svaras in Kabbalah and Hasidus the way that you can in Nigla. So therefore, so it's better than six measures of fine flour representing the six darim of Mishnah. So learning Chassidus, in other words, learning Pnimiyas HaTorah, learning Chassidus, he's saying is better than learning Nigla. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Akiva Omer Afilu Ochal Shelach Kolo. We said that even if a person eats cooked vegetables and that's his main food, then he would bench after it, says Rav Akiva. So the question is, where do you ever have such a thing where cooked vegetables is the main thing a person is using for their sustenance? That's unusual. We're talking specifically about where he's eating a stalk of cabbage, which is very filling. It's filling like bread or whatever, and therefore Rabbi Akiva would hold that's considered more than enough to bench over it. So now let's talk about what is and isn't nutritious. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa. Tchil yofa the shinayim, spleen of an animal is good for your teeth, but koshal b'nei me'ayim, but it's bad for your stomach. Kreshin, leeks, which are vegetables that are related to onions, is the other way around. Koshin the shinayim, but yofa the b'nei me'ayim, they're bad for your teeth, but they're good for your stomach. Kol yerek chai morik, any kind of raw vegetables make a person turn pale. They take away the appearance and the beauty of his face. Again, we have to remember that at least on the surface, a lot of this doesn't apply nowadays because, as we always say, the shtanu ativim, people's natures are much different. We live in different climates, we do different kinds of things than we did in the times of the Gemara. As we said before, the food itself was different than in the times of the Gemara. So not necessarily, at least on a surface level, does all of this apply nowadays, but you have, again, there's deeper meanings in it. B'chol katan makdin, anything that's small, that's any immature animal or whatever, Machin makes the person smaller. In other words, it prevents him from growing properly. The whole nefesh meishev is a nefesh. Anything that was alive and is being eaten whole, for example, Rashi says small fish, meishev is a nefesh. It restores a person's soul. The whole kodev la nefesh meishev. We're going to be analyzing line by line. We're going to be analyzing this brisa and explain what it means. The whole kodev la nefesh meishev is a nefesh. Anything that's close to the nefesh, meaning where a person eats from the parts of an animal that were close to the place where its life is, for example, like Gemara is going to say later, the neck, meishev is a nefesh, that restores the soul. Kruv la mazay, cabbage is good for nutrition. It's filling and nutritious. Utrodin l'rufua, trodin, which are beets or beet greens, are good for refuah, for a cure. The bias child left at the society, and woe to a house where turnips pass through it, because turnips are not healthy for you. Which the Gemara again is going to discuss soon when they are and when they aren't. Okay. So now let's analyze the bright. We said that spleen is good for your teeth and bad for your stomach. So my takante, what should you do then? If you want to eat spleen because it's good for your teeth, what should you do? He should chew it and then spit it out. So that way his teeth get the benefit from it, but it's not going into his stomach. What about creation, caution, lashanayim, yafan, lebnemeayim? Leaks is the other way around. They're bad for your teeth, they're good for your stomach. Maitakante, so how do you fix it up? Lishlakinu, vinivlinu, you should cook them until they're very soft, and then you swallow them down without having to chew them. So that way they don't. That way, your teeth then don't have to chew them, which would be bad for your teeth, but your stomach gets the benefit from them.
You can also chew it without chewing it.
If you cook it, lishlakinu means you cook it until it's very soft. So therefore, you can swallow it down much more easily. We said kol yerek chai morik. We said all raw vegetables make a person turn pale. By the way, yerek in Gemara terminology doesn't necessarily mean vegetables like tomatoes or whatever. It means like greens. It means like green vegetables, like lettuce or celery or other such things. Yeah. Okay. That's not always this order. Specifically, that refers to if a person eats raw vegetables during the first meal after they had bloodletting. So bloodletting, a person needs good food in order to regain the blood that they lost. So and a person is much weaker at that time than usual. So at that time, raw vegetables are not good for you. The Amar of Yitzchak, also of Yitzchak, says in this connection, anybody who eats vegetables before 4 hours in the day, you're not allowed to have a conversation with him because he's going to have bad breath. And therefore, it's not good for you. So Arba Shos, four hours into the day is normal time when people had a Suda in those days. So like this, where Rashi explains, if it's after 4 hours, at least the other people have had breakfast, so therefore his bad breath won't affect them so badly. But when they themselves are on an empty stomach, then it'll be very bad for them. My time of Mishum Recha, the reason is, again, because of the smell, because of the bad breath that it causes. But Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, also Rabbi Yitzchak says in this connection, also la'adam shi'echo yarek chai kodim abashos, a person is not allowed to eat raw vegetables before 4 hours, for the same reason. Okay, so the Gemara tells in this connection, Amemo Mazutra Ravashi Habu Yasvi, one time Amemo Mazutra and Ravashi were all sitting together, Aistu kamayu yarek chai kodim abashos, they brought before them raw vegetables, and it was before 4 hours in the day. Amemo Ravashi ochol, Amemo and Ravashi both ate from it, or Mazutra lay ochol, but Mazutra didn't want to eat from it. You're thinking not to, because Rabbi Yitzchak had said that if somebody eats raw vegetables before 4 hours in the day, you're not allowed to talk with him, and you're concerned about that because of the smell. We're eating raw vegetables before 4 hours, and you have no problem talking with us. So then, obviously, that's not the problem. So what's your concern? So he says, you're right, I don't hold of that first statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, but I do hold of the second statement. The person is not allowed to eat before 4 hours in the day, the raw vegetables. So you guys want to do that, fine. You don't hold of Rabbi Yitzchak's statement, then fine, but I hold of it, and therefore I'm not going to. I'm not concerned if other people do, therefore I have no problem talking with you, but I'm not going to do it myself.
It's
good advice. It's good advice. We said in the Braisa, kol kotan matin, we said that any small, immature creature causes the person to become small. In other words, it slows down his growth. That applies even, for example, it was a young goat which you buy for a zuz, which means it's a very high quality animal. But because it's not fully grown, then therefore it's not good for you. Now that only applies if it's not even a quarter of its mature size. But if it's already reached one quarter of its grown-up size, less than one, then there's no problem with it. Then, for example, a young goat or whatever is okay for you, only when it's very, very small and less than a quarter. Okay. Kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. We said anything that had a soul restores your soul. Amar Papa, afilu gildani debay gili. This means even the tiny little fish that live among the reeds. Gildana is a type of small fish. So the point being, Rashi says, we just said kol katan machtin, but that refers to something that's not yet at its full adult size. These fish never become any larger. That is their maximum size. That is their full size. So therefore, it's no problem. And since they had a nefesh, then it's good for you.
Any animal that's not full size.
Any animal, we said, as long as it's not a quarter of its full size. We said kol akorev a nefesh meishiv a nefesh. Whatever is closest to the nefesh restores the nefesh. That refers to the neck of the animal. The neck, Rashi points out, is fairly close to the heart and to the intestines and whatever, and therefore in that sense it's kodev on nefesh. Marsha says in that case, and what about, for example, a brisket is closer. So Marsha says, no, what
brisket
it means is where? It's the upper chest of the animal.
Right.
So wouldn't that be closer?
Yeah.
So Marsha says what it means kodev on nefesh means it's close to the place where it was shechted, where the nefesh went out of the animal when it was shechted. And the neck, of course, is the closest. And in that connection, Amale Rava Lashame, as in fact, we find Rava said to his servant, Ki Maisisli Umta De Bisra, when you bring to me from the marketplace, when you bring me a cut of meat, Torach Ba'aisi, the Mehecha De Mikra of Labeid Baruch, go to the trouble of bringing me a piece of meat that is close as possible to the place of Baruch. Meaning you say a bracha before you shech an animal, just like you do for most mitzvahs. So that is called the place of Baruch, the place where you say the bracha, ala shechita, before you shech the animal. So Rava is telling the servant, try to get me the meat from there as much as possible. Because that, as we said, is meishiv as a nefesh. It restores a person's soul. Okay. We said kruv l'mazin utrodin l'rafur. We said that cabbage is good for mazin, is good for nutrition, filling you up. And we said trodin, which are beets or beet greens, are good for rafur, for healing. So what do you mean? Kruv l'mazin en l'rafur l'ay? You're telling me that means cabbage is not something healing? It's only good for food, but not for healing. V'hatanya shishit barim merapin esachayla. We learn in a braisa. There are six things that cure a sick person, six things that cure a sick person from a sickness, or for us in refuah, and the refuah is a good refuah, in other words, it'll stick. The Elohim, kruv, number one is cabbage, number two, utrodin, beets or beet greens, number three, umay sisin, number three is water of sisin. Sisin is a type of herb, it's some kind of thing. I saw the translation in the Earth Scroll. I don't remember what the name was, but it's some plant in the mint family. But whatever it is, something like that, where you soak it in water, or you make a soup out of it, or whatever. It's good for you. Dvash, honey. Now, actually, the tzlach and a number of other mafarshim point out that dvash doesn't belong over here. What it is actually you have, if the word instead should be yavish, dry, may sisin yavish, water or soup that was made from dry sisin is good for you. We just literally finished saying, we said it's some kind of plant in the mid family. I don't know. I don't remember the name of it. I saw it. I saw it when I was preparing the shiur. I don't remember the name of it now. Number four, the kava. Number four, something that's good for you is the stomach of an animal. Number five, the heres, is the womb of an animal. So again, we're saying that all these things help cure a person. If a person was sick, then they help cure him. And number six, the aseres akavid. Number six, the diaphragm of an animal. It helps the person that's sick. It helps cure him. So we see there, the point is that we have this list of six things that are good for cures, and the first one on the list was kruv, was cabbage. So what are you telling me that cabbage is only good for mazon, but not for refor? Ela'eva kruv afla mazon. You're right, you have to change it. It means that trodin are good only for refor. Kruv is both, it has both advantages. It's for mazon and it's for refor. Okay. I don't see over here what sisin are, but okay, whatever. It just says it's some type of mint, something in the mint family. Okay, whatever. All right. I was looking in the North Scroll. Okay, onward. Oyloy labayis shalefes averes b'sarichay. We said woe to a house where turnips pass through it, and it was that turnips are not good for you. So what do you mean, any? Is that so? V'ha'amalei Rava l'shamei. We find that Rava said to his servant, ki chodis lista b'shuka. If you see that they have turnips for sale in the market, loy temeli b'may karchas rifta. Don't ask me that day what are you going to eat to accompany your bread, because automatically you'll know that I want turnips, because turnips are good for you. So then they're good for you. What do you mean?
Yeah.
The answer is, Abaye says, the braisa is talking about if you eat turnips without meat, then it's not good. But when you cook them together with meat, then it makes them good. The Rava
means
healthy, yeah. Rava says it means without wine. If you don't drink wine after the turnip, so it doesn't matter, according to Rava, whether it's cooked with meat or whether it's cooked by itself, but you have to drink wine after it. Itmar. Then we have a further discussion of Amaroyim. Rav Amim Bli Boser. Rav says like Abaya, that means that turnips are no good, are not good for you if you don't cook them with meat, but they're fine if you cook them with meat. Shmuel Amim Bli Eitzim. Shmuel says it means if they're not cooked with a lot of wood, meaning if they're not completely cooked, then they're not good for you. But Rav Yechanan Amim Bli Yayin. Rav Yechanan says like Rava, that it means that you have to drink wine after it for it to be good for you. Amalei Rava l'Rapapa, so Rava asks Rapapa in this connection, Sudni, or not so asks, he tells him, Sudni, He says that sets in Sudni, which there's a few possible. Rashi over here says that Sudni means a brewer. Rava, not Rava, Rapapa used to brew beer. That was his parnasa. So therefore, in a few places in Shas, Rava calls him Sudni. There's other explanations, but Rashi himself brings other explanations in other places that Sudni is also in Russian Soyd Hashem Liureyev, that it means a Taman Chacham, the one to whom Hashem secrets are given over. Anyway, the point is, Rava called him Sudni. Anan, so we,
in
the Russian Soyd, according to that. Anan Tavrinam Lava Bistra Vachamah. So we who drink wine, we break the power of the turnip using meat and wine. Like we said, if you cook it with meat or if you drink wine after it. Afterward, but you, the papa, the lenafesh lepo chamra, you don't have a lot of wine in your house because in your area you drink beer. But my tabrisula, so how do you break the power? How do you eat the turnip without it harming you? Amalei b'tzim. So the papa says, we use a lot of wood. We cook it until it's very soft. And that with a lot of wood, because that's what they use for, that's what they use to cook. Kihad the basu de Rapapa, as in fact we find Rapapa's wife, Basta de Mavashlala, after she would cook the turnip, Tavrala, Bitsman and Ufi Parsiyasa, she would then further break the power, the strength, the bitterness, whatever, of the turnip using eighty large pieces of wood. So she'd first cook it the normal amount, and then she'd continue cooking it with an exceptionally large amount of wood in order that it becomes really, really soft. And then it's good for you.
10 hours, 15 hours.
I don't know. Dog, cut, and maliach, we learn in a braisa, of small salted fish, for amim shuhum memits, there are some times when it can kill a person if he eats it. Namely, b'shiva also, or b'esrim b'shiva. On the seventh day after it was salted, or the 17th day, or the 27th day after it was salted. So on those times, it's not good for you. V'amila b'esru m'shloisha, others say on the 23rd. V'loyamur and elab mitvi v'loy mitvi. However, the Gemara says that only applies if it was roasted, but not completely roasted. So it's still like half roasted, and then it was salted, then it's not good for you. Avamakvi shaper, less than but if it's thoroughly roasted, then there's no problem, even on those days. Or deloy makvi shaper, loyamur and elab shosabasvi shikra. Also, even if it wasn't fully roasted, it's only a problem if you don't drink beer after it. Avashosabasvi shikra, less than but if you drink beer after it, then there's no problem, and then it's okay for you. Then it's not harmful.
Any small fish.
And we're talking about any small fish. Yeah, anchovies, sardines, you know, whatever. Okay. Again, how does that apply nowadays? Well, I've got it, especially if we have refrigeration, whatever. Yeah. Okay. I mean, in practice, if you had fish in your refrigerator for 27 days, that would probably be time to throw it out. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Asher Tamayim Latzmoy, hold on, we may as well finish off the pair. We said in the Mishnah that if somebody drinks water because he's thirsty, then he's bona fide. Then he says, sorry, shahakol, la puki mai, so as opposed to what? Why else would a person drink water? Amr, if idiba oven, la puki man de chanakte unta. As opposed to, for example, somebody was being choked by a piece of food, by a piece of meat, so then he doesn't make a bracha on water, because water itself, you don't have enough. The only hana you have from it is when you're thirsty. As opposed to, Tosfos spells out over here, and this is halacha, other kinds of drinks you're going to make a bracha on regardless, even if you're drinking them for refuah or whatever, as we learned in the beginning of the parak, for example, about drinking oil for refuah. Yeah. Tosfos also brings from Rav Amram Goin, who says that even in that case, you would still have to say an after bracha on it. The halacha is not like that, though. You don't say a before bracha or an after bracha if you're drinking water or not because you're thirsty. We said in the Mishnah of Tarfin Omer Bo Nefoshes Rabbis V'chastroin, and Tarfin says that you say Bo Nefoshes before drinking water. Amalei Rava Barav Chonon La'abaye V'amilo L'Rav Yosef Hilchaz Amai, what is the halacha? Do we in fact say Bo Nefoshes before drinking water or not? Amalei said, no, Pukhodi Mai Amadvah, go see what the people do. You see that people don't do that. People say Shahakol before water, not Bo Nefoshes. And therefore, that is the halacha that we say Shahakol before and Bo Nefoshes after. Okay. Not Bo Nefoshes before, as your pirate would say. Okay. Hadron Allah Ketam Mubarak.